welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Tark. It is Make-A-Wish Day here at the Sharp Side Podcast, and they let me fill in. Our normal host, Chaz Parada, is still joining us, but feeling a little under the weather. Good for him fighting through injury. He is still with us. Chaz, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little bit of a sore throat over here.
And we got James Bitter, the only winner of our best bets, the flukiest win. He came on here and said the Ravens were his best bet, and then without telling anyone, the Cardinals became his best bet. But congratulations to James Bitter being 1-0. James, how you doing today?
Good.
It's Mickey good to be first. Mickey Mouse ring.
Mickey Mouse ring. All right, guys. Week one is in the books. Tell me key takeaways, something you learned, something you like. What are we looking forward to as we approach overreaction week in week two?
I'm overreacting, that's for sure. The team that you guys heard me waxing poetic about the maybe not too poetic, but about the Jets last week. And safe to say it, I hit my plus six, but they did not look good. They've got little messes all over the place. So looking to fade them this week for sure. And then it's the Jameis show. As a Saints fan, I could not be more excited watching my quarterback throw more than 10 yards down the field. So it's a good time for me.
James, what about you?
My biggest takeaway was home field did not matter as much as we thought it did. We saw, I think, 8 underdogs went outright. So that was interesting for me to see from that perspective. But I'm definitely curious if that has any influence on these lines week two, if home field gets downgraded a little bit. But that was just interesting for me to see.
Agreed. I think we'll have to just look at that more as the year goes on. I'm super impressed by the AFC North. I thought the Browns had the most impressive loss of the weekend as they completely dominated that Chiefs game. Also looking at the Steelers game where that defense looked so good and they really dominated against the Bills. And then looking at the Ravens, they look like they're in a lot of issues. O-line looks like it has trouble. Defense with losing Peters, with Jimmy Smith hurt. They seem like they're having a lot of problems. So I'll be definitely looking at that AFC North. And then one big takeaway, which I'm loving. I'd love to hear your guys' opinion. The single digit, bringing back the players being allowed to have single digits. What do you think about that? It's a little difficult because now I don't know all the players anymore, but I think it's awesome.
I love a good D lineman wearing like number 6 or something. I think it's sweet.
I didn't really notice, but I mean, I saw a lot of people bitching on Twitter. So
it's funny.
Yeah, no, I'm all polarizing. About it. I don't know why people care. First of all, smaller numbers just look cooler. I don't want to watch a player wear like 67. It just doesn't move anything for me.
You don't like watching SDSU receivers wear number 93?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't like watching SDSU football in general, though, so I think that's just it.
We've already talked about SDSU football too much on the podcast.
Same for the college pod. Which,
why don't
quick plug. College football. College football week 3 is out. Go give it a listen if you're betting this Saturday or this Friday too. So there you go. There's a plug. All right, take it away, Austin.
To continue to plug, check out our Twitter at the Sharp Side Pod. We're definitely tweeting about the game. We also are pretty quick to tweet early in the week about plays we like. I know for their college plays, numbers move pretty much the day after they bet them. So if you're following our Twitter, you can get a lot of good value. Definitely subscribe to our Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe, whole shebang. Keep giving us that love. And if you guys tail one of our plays, give us a tweet. We're doing great work here, all for free, and we will give you our great sponsor a little later in the program. So why don't we get started with our first game? We'll kick it off to James, who is undefeated in the clubhouse. Let's see if he changes his pick Saturday night when he's drinking. But he's going to stick
with it. I changed it in the middle of Saturday. Like, this is BS. I'm sorry you guys were on your phone.
So let's go with the
fake
Bills.
News.
He's taking the Bills, who are 3-point favorites over the Miami Dolphins. That line is changing a little bit, jumping from 3 to 3.5. But he grabbed -3, and the total's 47.5. James, what do you like about that game?
I really like the Bills this week. Last four times these two teams have played, the Bills have won every game. They've put up 31, 56, 37, and 31 points. So my favorite play in this game would actually be the Bills team total over, but I also love it minus three. So last week we saw two teams were both pretty unlucky, but with different results. So on the Bills side, they outgained the Steelers by 120 yards, lost the turnover battle, lost by seven. A little deceiving on that scoreboard. And then we saw the Dolphins get outgained by 140, but win the turnover battle and win by 1 point. And I'd say they were incredibly fortunate to win that game. If you look back last year too, the Dolphins, they just had a horseshoe up their ass. All times, all kinds of turnover luck. It's pretty crazy, but at some point it's got to stop. And I think it stops here. The Bills are rolling. I think they get back on the winning streak here.
That was a good line, horseshoe up the ass. You pretty much hit all the points that I was going to mention. Josh Allen has dominated Miami in his career. I heard it's because Miami plays a bunch of – they might have a solid defense, but they play a bunch of man compared to the Steelers last week, who are very zone-heavy. And Josh Allen struggled in his career against the zone and against the Steelers in particular. So I think just because Miami has pretty much just as good as the defense of the Steelers, that it'll be a different change for the Bills, and I think they'll be able to take advantage more of it. As James mentioned, Dolphins win was just so fluky last week. I really do expect the Bills to take to jump back onto the winning streak. Something I do think should be noted, though, to be a little wary of for taking the Bills. Usually in September games, when games are played in Miami in the heat, there is a bigger home field advantage for Miami, especially Buffalo, a team from the cold traveling down here. I think it is a little bit of an edge for Miami, considering the Bills are playing in the hot weather.
I agree. I'll take it real quick. I was going to say, I'd agree, but I mean, in upstate New York, you also get some kind of humid weather like that. And the Bills also came down here week two last year, same time of the year, and came in and won. So it doesn't really scare me that much.
Like it.
I'm also all for Bills minus three. It's one of my likes. I fully echo everything you guys just said. The Dolphins won't get nearly as much pressure as the Steelers did last week, and Josh Allen will have more time, and it'll just overall just be an easier game for them. I think the Steelers front seven is infinitely better than the Dolphins, and I just think that the Dolphins have like a much better secondary, but I trust Josh Allen to pick apart a good secondary more so than I trust him against a good pass rush and good pressure. So go Bills.
All right. Well, we're all in agreement here then. We're all taking the Bills at minus three. I guess I'll take away next. My best bet's the Steelers. The live line was minus six. I'm struggling to find it. Minus six, minus 120. Line seems to be even going higher. As I mentioned at the beginning, I was just super impressed by Steelers defense. They looked astonishingly good to stop. Bills offense like they did was very impressive. And then I look at the Raiders side. I was very impressed with their game, but this will be my narrative take on the game. But it was an enormous emotional win. Now they're coming in for a short week. It was a late game that they had just played, and they're now traveling West Coast to East Coast, which you try to stop putting that in your handicaps, but that's a pretty big deal for Gruden, considering he's 3-8 against the spread when traveling coasts. And in fact, we saw this exact scenario happen last year when the Raiders had a big time win on Monday Night Football in week two, where they beat the Saints, and then they flew out to New England just the following week and New England beat the hell out of them. I'm seeing a lot of parallels between those two scenarios. I see a big Steelers matchup advantage here. As we clearly saw last game, the Raiders offense runs through Waller. He had 19 targets in that game, and the Steelers have the personnel to, I wouldn't say necessarily stop him, but control him for sure. With Minka Fitzpatrick most likely tailing him, I think they have the answer to Waller. Jacobs also clearly is not 100%. He was leaving the game multiple times in that Ravens game. Raiders lost another O-lineman last week. Incognito is still questionable to play. They had Leatherwood, who's fresh out of Alabama, who's still making mistakes. And with TJ Watt hovering right over him, I think he's going to be able to dominate. Raiders still have defensive key injuries, such as Ngakoue is still hurt. Gerald McCoy left the game. He'll be most likely out for the season. I just think from a narrative and matchup point of view, all angles are pointing to the Steelers. I do think six is a lot of points, but I don't know. I kind of think they just run them over here. So I'll definitely be on the Steelers.
Complete agreement from me. If you didn't play this as your best bet, I probably would have taken it from you. The spot just lines up incredibly well for the Steelers. I was texting about it actually during the Monday night game. I was on the Ravens. It was not my best bet, like they like to say. So watching the game, I was a little bummed out. But I knew this spot on deck, I actually kind of started rooting for the Raiders. And in addition to what you said, they played basically a whole nother quarter after that overtime period, like, and just like the highs and lows of that game, being on like the half yard line, throwing a pick, thinking you're going to lose. And then you get the ball back, and then you almost kick a 50 yard field goal on second down, and then you win it on the next play. I mean, it is just so much going on, but I'm completely with you. I just think the Steelers roll here. I don't think the Raiders get anything going offensively. And then just come out flat.
So I certainly lean Steelers. I think that like the travel spot is very beneficial for the Steelers, all that. I will say though, what the Raiders D line showed against the Ravens was absolutely incredible to me. I think that, but this also, I will explain the flip side of this to where, to why I'm not backing the Raiders too. But like coming into the season, I don't think anyone really thought that the Steelers would have a good O-line. And I don't think last game really showed that they would, or that they will have a good O-line. So I think that there is a potential chance for Max Crosby and Ngakoue, he was limited, but he did still practice, which is a good sign. I think there's a chance that they can dominate yet again. Their pressure rates last game were the two best pressure rates since Khalil Mack's career started with the Raiders. And like Khalil Mack had like the next best eight or so, which is absolutely insane. But I mean, it does go to show how efficient that Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue were. And that being said, this is what makes me lean Steelers, is I don't think that's going to matter as much. Because with Big Ben, he just gets rid of the ball really quick. And when you're getting rid of the ball really quick, that lessens the impact of elite pass rush. And so if they can continue to have successful plays and get into, you know, good third and short, second and short situations, that pass rush is not going to mean much. Player prop play that I like. The Raiders showed an inability to stop the run against the Ravens. I think Najee Harris is going to go absolutely buck wild this week. And I would imagine that his line will be at or around, like, this is a kind of like a big window, but like 79 to like 88 yards. And I would play that over. I think he's going to have a monster day, especially in a game in which I think they're going to be winning. He's going to get the ball at the end of the game too. So that's what I like there.
All right, all pretty much agreement for me. So the only pushback I would have had there was that I'm not sure yet if I'm blaming the Ravens' really bad O-line, because their O-line looked horrible last week, or if the Raiders' defensive line was just that good. So I think that'll just be something to monitor. Crosby did look phenomenal. Good for Carl Nassib making the game-winning play on Lamar to end it. Definitely something to monitor, but I really like what you had to say about Big Ben getting the ball away quicker. I mean, even last week, the Bills' D-line didn't kill him. They were only sacked two times, and I don't know if that's a pressure, if that's credit to Big Ben getting the ball, getting rid of the ball quick, or because their O-line actually isn't that bad.
I don't think the Bills have a great D-line. I think it's pretty squarely average to below average. Villanueva, who started at right tackle for he lined up against Crosby. Crosby ate him for breakfast. But I mean, Ngakoue was going up against Ronnie Stanley, and now Ronnie Stanley might not even play this week. And and like Ronnie Stanley is you can make the argument that he's not completely healthy, which I will absolutely take. But when healthy, he is probably the most valuable tackle in all of football. So like that's. So something on its own there. That's impressive to me.
Yep. All right. Well, why don't we move on to your best bet?
Sure.
You got the Chargers -3. One of our friends, Preston, is going to that game. Chargers are 3-point favorites at home in their opener at SoFi playing the Cowboys. I'm trying to find the
55.5.
3.5. Okay. 55.5. All right. Great. Chaz, what you think?
So I love the charge this week. I bet a three. I would play the 3.5 as well. It's likely going to be a very high scoring game. So I don't think that half point is as valuable as it normally would be. In short, I think the Chargers will be very undervalued until about week 4, week 5-ish. And then I think the market will kind of start to catch up. I think there's still the Anthony Lynn hangover that is kind of just sitting over the Chargers. And I think that what that team showed last week was an absolutely dominant win. Whether the scoreboard shows or, I mean, the final score shows or not, I think it's a little misleading. And like there was certainly, I don't want to get into like bad ref calls, but there's certainly some calls that did not go the Chargers' way. I think Brandon Staley has acquitted himself very nicely. The offense looked really good. Herbert looked incredible. And what I was most impressed about was the O-line. O-line looked fantastic against probably the best D-line in all of college football. Against the Cowboys, who just lost their best defensive player, arguably one of the three most valuable players on the entire team, and really only good defensive player, DeMarcus Lawrence. I think the Cowboys are going to have an incredibly difficult time getting any sort of pressure on Herbert or causing any sort of havoc in the run game. On the flip side, I love Dak. I think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think that the fact that he had to audible out of runs 13 times to keep it a close game against Tampa Bay is so damning to me as at the play calling. I truly want no part of the Cowboys offense, just because of if that's the play calling I'm going to get, I don't want to back that. If you're going to try and force feed Zeke that much when you know it's not going to work against the best rush defense in football. The talent is immense on the offensive side, but the play calling, it just sucks if that's what they're trying to do. And all credit to Dak for like switching out of horrible play calls. So Chargers -3.5 or -3 if you can get it. So go Chargers.
James?
Yeah, total agreement from me. The DeMarcus Lawrence injury is really what moved me. I was able to grab a 3 yesterday. My main play in this one is the over. I bet it 52.5 Sunday night, and now it's at 55.5. I'm pretty happy about that bet. Honestly, I'd still play it. I think there's gonna be a lot of fireworks here, a lot of scoring. And my main takeaway from that Dallas game, like you said, just the inability to kind of run the ball and the fact that they called 13 runs that Dak had to audible from. But they also, that could have been so much worse for them. Tampa Bay had 4 turnovers, all in like pretty bad spots on the field that set Dallas up well, or just hurt Tampa Bay deep in opponent's territory. So I think that score was a little deceiving last week. Yes, Dallas moved the ball and looked good on offense, but a lot of it was because of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we've got a matchup here with two teams who have deceiving scoreboards. I mean, Chargers were 6 of 9. 6 of their 9 drives were in the red zone last week, and they only win by 4, only putting up 20 points. I just think what that offense did against a really good defense in Washington was damn impressive. I don't see Dallas stopping them at all. I'm totally on James' side with the over. And then the flip side, we have Dallas, who that was a very close game, came down into a last-second field goal. But if it wasn't for those Tampa turnovers, that game's a blowout as well. But at the same time, Dallas's offense still did look very impressive. 55.5 might be a damn big number, but I still think it's warranted. And then I'm taking the Chargers just because what they did against Washington was so impressive. When they're facing an easier defense like this, they're going to have their way. And Dallas, it's not just DeMarcus Lawrence. Lyle Collins is out, Gallup's out, and then Randy Gregory also has COVID. So they're definitely a pretty banged up. I think Chargers are definitely the right side.
You want to flip it to Anchor real quick?
And here, now that we've gone over our 3 best bets, which why don't we quickly go over the recap our best bets. James, leader in the clubhouse, had Bills -3. I had Steelers -6. And Chaz Parada had Chargers -3. Now we're going to get quick to our sponsor, who's paying us so much money to give this out.
So much.
Anchor. Go check out Anchor. All right, Anchor, thank you so much once again for everything you guys do for us. Really, they're such a good team over there. Let's move on to the main slate. Let's go back to the top of the board, the top of the MyBookie board, where we have the Saints and the Panthers. We have the Saints as 3.5-point favorites on the road with a total of 44.5. Does anyone want to start us off?
I'll go first. Oh, no, go ahead, Chaz.
All right. I bet the Saints minus 3 at open. 3.5, I think this half point means a little bit more, just because I could see neither team. I could see both teams struggling to move the ball at times. I think now, as excited as I was about James Winston just chucking the ball over the place, I do want to rein myself in a little bit, just because fluky isn't the right word, but he
drained.
What?
It was a strange. I was gonna say strange. It was a strange game.
Well, yeah, and so like he had a couple of just absolute deep bombs, and then the offense was able to move the ball on the ground so easily that he just didn't really need to drop back all that much. Now I think the Panthers have a pretty good D line. So, granted, I think the Saints have a top three O line in football. So I think that will be that value of that will be lessened a little bit, but I think that the amount of time James has to just uncork balls 50 yards down the field might not be the same as he did against the Packers. And I mean, he had 150 yards and 5 touchdowns or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
I would not. And a third of those yards came on one play too. So, I wouldn't really call that sustainable. That being said, I think the Saints are vastly more talented team here. Lattimore being out is definitely important against the team with really good receivers, but I loved what I saw from the rookie corner. So at 3.5, I lean Saints.
Yeah, you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. I also bet at 3, more as a play on the number. I thought this would keep moving towards 4. It got there for a second, came back down to 3.5. Definitely lean to the Saints. Walked away incredibly impressed last week. They were just so efficient on offense. And that defense looked tenacious as well. So I'm curious to see if they can keep that up against the Panthers on the road, or is that just like a one-game thing against the Packers?
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of just passing this game, just because I don't know what to take of that game. I just found that game to be so fluky. Saints were a really good matchup in that game, considering the Packers had all these O-line issues. The Saints were able to dominate through the D-line, and then just the offensive stats they had were just bewildering. Just the way that I don't even know what to say. I mean, they were the quick touchdowns, the fact that they came out to an early lead, and then Aaron Rodgers just started forcing the ball, and the game was over in the middle of the third quarter. But now the tape's out. Before that game, there was no really idea what Sean Payton was going to do with Jameis, how he's going to include Taysom. So I'm interested to see another game with Jameis at the helm. I kind of honestly want to take the Panthers. I think the value at 3.5 or even 4, I think there is a little value there. But if Sam Darnold couldn't score on the Jets, who have one of the worst defenses in the league, I don't know how on earth that he's going to score on the Saints when Aaron Rodgers just put up 3 points against them last week. So it's going to be a pass for me. If I had to pick a side, honestly, I'm taking the Panthers. I just think I think there's a little value there in a close division game, especially on the road.
One thing I'm going to critique real quick is that you said quick drives. They did not score on quick drives.
True.
They absolutely dominated time of possession in the first half. And then the Packers started going for it on like 4th from their own 20. It's just when they were down 20. So that kind of opened the game up a little bit, but I like their run game looked incredible with Kamara and Tony Jones, or I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like they control the ball very well. And it just comes down to Sean Payton being I feel like he doesn't quite get the credit he deserves along with like the Shanahans, the Andy Reids in terms of like offensive play calling, but like he's certainly in that group. So, and like, he's got the back 98% of the field to work with now. So it's certainly exciting.
All right, let's move on. Let's go on to the survivor pick of the week, where we have the Browns as a 12.5-point favorite versus the Texans with a total of 48. I'll start. I don't really know how to bet this game spread-wise. We're looking at the Browns, who are almost in a hangover spot. You play such a tremendous game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. You pretty much dominate the whole thing, and a botched punter snap pretty much decided the entire game. Now you face the second worst team in the league. It's funny we're allowed to say second now. And it's not exactly a get-up game for Cleveland. But at the same time, I was so impressed with the Browns. That offense was clicking. Took no step back from last season. Stefanski's making very plus EV decisions. He's going for it in the right spots. I love that he's going for two as well. I'll lean the Browns just because I can't possibly take the Texans. They did look good last week, but I mean, they played the Jags and the Jags looked horrible. Something that should be noted is the entire Browns O-line is on the injury report this week. So something to monitor as Sunday approaches.
So this was one of my likes. It was actually almost my best bet. It's just, I really hate laying 12.5 because that back door just swings wide open late in that game. I really do like the Browns team total over. And if you can get a first half number under 17, I think that'd be my favorite play in this game. I just think they move the ball at will. I mean, we saw it last week. We saw it all last year at home in those when there was no wind, no weather in those games. That offense is so efficient. Stefanski does an incredible job of scripting plays. They'll be ready. And on the other side, you can talk about maybe a hangover spot for the Browns. But I heard guys on this podcast saying that the Texans were going to go 0-17. So you told me that. I know it wasn't you.
Oh, I'll wear it. I will wear it.
So you're telling me they're not celebrating their win? They're listening to this podcast, and they're supposed to go 0-17. Yeah, I just honestly, I kind of like the over in this game. I could see just a lot of points specifically from the Browns, but lean the Browns, kind of like it. I just like their team total for the most part.
I neglected to put this one in my likes, but you better absolutely think that I'm betting on the Browns this week. The Houston Texans put up, what, 35 points?
Yep.
Get the hell out of here. Browns are going to dominate this game. They're going to win by 30.
Can't argue it. Yeah. I love it. Walking into your survivors.
All right. That is my survivor play.
Yeah, I think it's going to be everyone's. Let's move on to another AFC North game versus the NFC North as well. We got a North battle. We got the Bears as 2-point favorites at home against the Bengals, total of 45. James, what are your thoughts?
I have none. I don't know what to think about this game.
I don't either.
I really want to be on the Bengals, but it's like a disrespectful line. Are we really upgrading the Bengals that much and the Bears that far down? Oh, I mean, I'm going to pass it, but like if I make a round robin parlay, I'll probably put the Bengals money line in it. That's my entire analysis.
They're a very trendy dog this week, I think. My note is Andy Dalton revenge game part two. Cowboys got one of their only wins last year where Andy Dalton traveled back to Cincinnati. Now he's home playing Cincinnati. I don't think that's a big deal. Honestly, I'm taking the Bears under a field goal. I think there's just some disrespect there. Mainly because somehow Nagy has the coaching advantage. Zach Taylor is just still a very questionable coach in my mind. He made some decisions last week that were dumbfounding. He went for it on his own 30, up 14 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. It gave the Vikings a short field, immediately got them back in that game. And then he punted to give the ball back to the Vikings at the end of the game, which ended up sending the game to overtime. I'm taking the Bears, and I'm going to hope that Justin Fields makes another appearance at halftime. I made that prediction last week. Bring the field. Show, man. I don't want to see Dalton. So I'll take Bears.
The Bears were my sixth favorite play. And I think I still haven't bet it yet. Once I saw it go down from like 3-2, I was just kind of content with waiting. I think I saw a 1 today, so I might bet that. But I don't understand where all the Bengals love is coming from. I mean, and I think the Vikings are going to have a very decent season this year, but I don't. A 3-point win in OT against the Vikings is not really quite moving the needle for me, especially with Zach Taylor as coach. Good for Joe Burrow looking good, though. I like seeing that. Yep. But that's all I got. I think that the Bears are just going to be able to out-physical them, especially up front.
There will be better games to watch on the 10 a.m. slate.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to a game that I'm actually looking forward to, and I'd love to hear your guys' opinions. We got the Rams as favorites traveling to Indianapolis. Fresh off of their big win in SoFi on Sunday Night Football, we have a total of 48. Chaz, what do you think?
I lean Colts. I think what first thing I kind of did was like, I would not lay 9.5 points with the Rams at home. I just don't think that, like, that's the power rating disparity should be that much. I think, and also I like, say what you will about Carson Wentz. I thought he looked healthy enough last week where he was moving around enough. It's just a lean. I think the number's a bit off, especially getting the hook at three. I also lean to the under. I think 40.5 feels pretty big. And I do like what the Colts have on defense. I think there's certainly talent there. So that's what I got.
James?
I lean the other way. I actually might bet this if it keeps moving towards three, but I doubt it does. McVay's 8-1 ATS in weeks 1 and 2 as a head coach in the NFL. It takes the league a little while to adjust to what he does and what he does, the adjustments he makes in the offseason. And now that he has a new toy in Stafford. I just think that helps that trend. So I lean to the Rams, but not like a strong lean.
So I have two different handicaps for this game, one for the Rams and one for the Colts. And I'll get to my bet at the end. So first I'll start with the Rams handicap. If Wentz got hit more than any other QB last week, and that was against Seattle, and now they face a team with a real defensive line, the Rams should be able to do whatever they want against him. That Rams offense looks scary good. I just don't think the NFL is prepared quite yet for Stafford in this offense. McVay has his new toy and he's loving it. On the injury side, Darius Leonard's hurt. Quentin Nelson's hurt. Definitely two injuries to monitor. But for the Colts handicap side, Bears were able to run the ball on the Rams last week. And now we find a much better running team with the Colts, with Jonathan Taylor. And if they're able to run the ball, that puts the game in their hands. And Wentz did look a little rusty last week, but I just think another week of reps is just exactly what he needs. James is right. McVay does have some great stats in weeks 1 and 2, but Rams flying east for an early start time, week after opening game in their home stadium, in and with a total sandwich spot as they have a look ahead to the Bucs next week. My bet's going to be on the Colts money line. I just think that the Colts can control the ground game. And if they do that, they'll control the game. And I think they're very live to win. But if the Rams get out to an early lead, Jonathan Taylor isn't running the ball the same way, and Wentz has to come back from behind, then Rams spread is very live. So I'll take the plus money play, and I'll take Colts money line here.
I like that.
Interesting. Not a bad angle. What do you think about the total then, if you think both teams can move the ball like that?
I mean, if I'm taking the Colts, I'm expecting that they're going to control the game and control the ground and keep that clock moving. So 48 just sounds kind of about right. And if the Rams get out to an early lead, I don't know what to expect from Carson Wentz from behind. So I kind of don't want to be a part of that total.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. We got some line movement in this next game. We're up down to 3 points where the Niners are 3-point favorites with a total of 49.5. I guess I'll start. Something that is interesting the 49ers are doing for the third straight year, they've been on their schedule, they've been given two East Coast trips to start the year. And for a third straight year, they're staying East in the second week for preparation. And in those last two times, they've dominated, where they stayed in Cleveland, where they dominated the Bengals, and then stayed in New York, where they dominated the Giants last year. And that was a game where they were super injured as well. I'm ignoring the end of the game shenanigans last week that happened. If 49ers dominated all game, and if it wasn't for the ball going off Kittle's face mask, they win by 16 plus. I just think San Fran is going to have their way on offense. The Eagles' biggest weakness is a bad linebacker core. I think just with Shanahan game planning, even with Mostert hurt, I think they're going to be able to use their running backs pretty well. Eagles do have a very good O-line. And that should be able to negate the 49ers D-line. But that being said, they have four offensive linemen on the injury report this week. So definitely something to monitor. In general, I'm excited for this game because I'm just really looking forward to seeing this Eagles offense. They looked so good last week. But you can't really overlook how bad Atlanta's defense was. Jalen Hurts looked very good, especially when he's scrambling. So really, I'm going to be monitoring the Eagles offense. But I'm taking the Niners. I think that now that it's at three, I kind of want them. I do think losing Verrett's kind of big, especially because they have such a thin secondary. I'm betting on their offense. I think they're going to be able to get theirs.
I'll take it from here. So the Eagles actually have no injury issues on the O-line. It's all just resting players, not injury related. That's the designation on the injury report. I think that the Jason Verrett injury is huge. First of all, I think it absolutely sucks for that guy's career, just how often he just tears his ACL or whatever it is. But second of all, I don't think that the Niners secondary is especially great. I think the front seven is what makes them good. And they've got guys banged up. Eric Armstead, Dre Greenlaw, Javon Kinlaw, I mean, and D Ford, all either limited participants or didn't practice. Now Shanahan says most of these guys are going to play, which is a good sign. But I'm actually looking at the over. I think Jalen Hurts looked fantastic. Sirianni called a great game, and I think that the Eagles have a bunch of receiving talent that could present issues for the Niners secondary. And then on top of that, I think that, like you said, I think that the Niners are going to be able to move the ball with ease against the Eagles. So I think 49.5 is a little too low. I think it should be closer to 52.
So I agree with both of you. I might bet the Niners, and I do like the over. So I think the Eagles are just being overvalued, and a lot of people are looking at that final score of that Niners game and kind of remembering that collapse, and it's just left a bad taste in people's mouths. 3 certainly seems like a discount. If you look at this line before the season, I bet you it's closer to 6, 5.5. What the Eagles did was impressive. There's no doubt about that. But this is an Atlanta team that was outscored by 50 points in 3 preseason games. The signs were all there that this could be a long year for them. Even though it is the preseason, you got to take it with a grain of salt. They're just going to be a bad team. And Atlanta was still moving the ball on them. They just couldn't finish drive. It's more of the same for the Falcons. Bad red zone team. Can't convert in opponent's territory. So I definitely walked away impressed by the Eagles, and I walked away very impressed by the Niners offense. That leads me to the over. And honestly, 3 just seems too cheap. So I'll probably end up being on the Niners.
All right. So we're all
I've got one more quick thing to add. One more quick thing to add. So I actually missed this. One of the Niners' other cornerbacks is also out. He hasn't been designated out yet, but he did miss practice today. And all Shanahan said is that he doesn't believe there's a long-term concern, which I guess it makes his availability against the Eagles possible, but not guaranteed. And I think cluster injuries at corner like that, when you have two just wildly fast receivers with Rager and Smith, is going to present an issue. And then one more thing. I bet the Eagles to win the NFC, was that NFC East?
Yep.
Yeah. In the wake of the DeMarcus Lawrence news, I just think he's so important for the Cowboys, who I would say are the best, most talented team in that division. And the football team and the Giants are gassy farts of football teams. So, and with the quarterback issue with Fitzmagic not there right now, then I think I bet at 275. I thought it was a good number to buy in on the Eagles now.
Yeah, I think if you like them this week, that's a really good play, especially because they play Dallas next week. So definitely a chance to capitalize on your number. Let's move on to another stinker of a game. Let's go to Jacksonville, where not the Saints are playing, but the Jaguars are playing in their home opener. Broncos are 6-point favorites on the road with a total of 45. I guess I'll start. I don't have too much to say. Texans are a bad D-line, and they were able to get pressure on the Jags last week. Broncos have a much better D-line and should be able to do whatever they want against this Jacksonville offensive line. Trevor Lawrence didn't look too good in his first start, but he's a rookie. We'll see how it works out. Denver has a much better defense than the Texans, so I don't see it improving too much for him. I was very impressed with Teddy. I thought he looked really good. He was even throwing the ball deep, which he's never done in his career. And definitely monitor some injuries. Bradley Chubb's on the injury report. Judy is definitely going to be out. It's tough to take Jacksonville here. I lean the Broncos. I just think they're the right side, but I think 6 points for a West Coast team traveling to hot Jacksonville is a lot, but I just think they're the side.
I'll take it next. I lean to this over. Denver's offense actually looked really good last week, and they left some points on the board in that game. They were able to put up 27. I think they scored on five of their 7 or 8 drives. So incredibly efficient all game. What makes me like this over in particular is if the Broncos get a lead, we saw what happened last week in that Jags Texans game, garbage time galore. Jags start airing the ball out, turnovers happen, big plays happen. So if 45, I think that's a pretty low number. I could see this game flying over that.
I probably should have looked this up ahead of time, but do either of you guys know if Denver flew home and then flew back from New York?
No, I'll look that up right now.
I assume they did.
Okay. I mean, I'm just going to lean to the Jags. I would certainly not bet them, but I just think 6 is a little too much. I still don't have a whole lot of confidence in the Broncos offense. So I think that that might present a small issue for them to score. Not that I have any doubt in them winning. I will say, I think that everything about the Jags looked bad. I wouldn't put it on Trevor Lawrence too much though. He threw 2 picks and one of them wasn't quite his fault. And then his receivers had a bunch of drops too. And that he had half a second to drop back every time too. And the O-line just looked terrible. So I guess I'm talking myself in the Broncos here because they could certainly apply enough pressure on him in that game. But this is a pass for me. I'll continue to say I lean Jags just because.
Yeah, I'm interested to see another week of Urban Meyer. There's just a lot of weird quotes coming out. College jobs are opening up. Is he thinking of leaving again?
No, he's not leaving. One of our friends made like a, oh, he's gone after his press conference comments, but he just always talks like that. Like he's just an incredibly like monotonous guy. There you go, Austin. There's your vocab word for the day, monotonous.
I'll write it down. Thank you. all right. We got another game where I actually like this game. We got a lot of bets here.
I love this game.
We got the Patriots traveling to the New York Jets, where they are favored by 6 points with a total of 43. James, why don't you kick us off? Well, yeah, go for it.
So, at this current number, I really don't have any bets, but I did bet it 3.5, pass minus 3.5 on Sunday night. So, it's just a good number. I mean, at 6, I still lean there. The Jets struggled mightily on offense last week against the Panthers, and now they get the Patriots front 7. I just think that, how am I blanking right now? I just think that, how am I forgetting? Zach Wilson. Oh my God, dude. I just think Zach Wilson's going to have struggle. He's going to have guys in his face all game. I think it leads to a lot of turnovers and short fields for the Patriots. And on the other side, I think the Patriots were extremely unlucky last week. We already talked about that a little bit. Mac Jones looked incredible, really efficient. I think he had 281 yards. And that's pretty impressive against a good Dolphins secondary. Jets secondary is not very good. I think the Pats roll.
I'm with you. I also bet Pats minus 3.5. I like the Patriots team total over in this. I think with a low total, it doesn't really scare me off with the Patriots laying points here. I think that the O-line is going to give Mac Jones a bunch of time to kind of let plays develop. And then the running game is going to dominate too. Sam Darnold absolutely cooked the Jets secondary last week. I think he averaged like 7 or 8 yards per attempt, which is insane. And I don't know how they didn't score more points based on that, but I think that they're going to, and I also think that like Bill Belichick just owns rookie quarterbacks. Like that's his thing. Right. So he's just going to have this team in hell. Honestly, I'm not going to bet more on it at -6, but I don't think it's the worst bet in the world either. Oh, actually, you know what? No, I would.
You get a good teaser.
It's a great tease. I also think that an alternate spread here is live too, just because I don't see the Jets being able to move the ball all that great with offensive line issues. And I think the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball at will. So there you go. Austin, what do you think?
I'm with you. I'll take the Pats at -6. I'm also on the Jets team total under. Jets last week allowed 17 pressures, the most in the league. They had 0.2 rushing yards before contact. And New England had forced pressure on every single O-lineman in 29 snaps against Miami. The Patriots are absolutely going to feast on this Jets O-line, especially with Becton out. As Chaz mentioned, Belichick versus a rookie QB. Wilson last week, he made one tremendous throw to Corey Davis, but other than that, he looked young and vulnerable, I think, against this defense.
I will say Wilson was the most impressive part of that game. He had some incredible throws in that game. Just the O-line. Agreed. The O-line was not giving him any time.
Yeah, well, it's not going to get any easier this week. I just don't see the Jets scoring many. And I was pretty impressed with Mac Jones last week. I think they're going to be just fine on offense against the bad Jets defense. They should be able to move the ball a hell of a lot easier than they did against Miami. Hopefully finish a couple more drives and hold on to the football. I think -6 is a great bet. I think Jets team total under is a good bet. And then Chaz added also the Pats team total over because we aren't impressed with this Jets defense. And I think he also agrees that the Patriots offense looks pretty good. And it kind of pushes us away from the full game under just because I think the Patriots will be able to get theirs.
Absolutely. Afternoon games.
Let's do it. This is a fun one because I'm just excited to learn more about Arizona. We've got
Minnesota. I think both teams have questions.
Yeah, I hate Minnesota, so I guess I'll be excited to watch this. Arizona's 3.5-point favorites, total of 50.5. We'll kick it to the Cardinals fan. James, what do you think?
One sec.
I can go to Chaz. Chaz, what do you think?
I was kind of hoping to go last because I feel like both you guys are going to lean like Vikings. I'm already talked, so I'll start. I lean Cardinals. We both loved them last week, and they absolutely dominated. The defense looked great. Chandler Jones was an absolute menace. I think Ryan Tannehill is better and better at is more receptive to pressure than Kirk Cousins is, and I think that Chandler Jones could, and the rest of the defense too, will cause even more issues for Kirk Cousins. Now, I think that the Vikings are a better team than what they showed last week, so it scares me off a bet a little bit. And on top of that, we still have healthy Kyler. And if we have healthy Kyler, I think that the Cardinals' offense is always ripe to just explode against the team. I will say this every week, until he starts getting nicked up a little bit and we kind of start to see it, I think that's when we start fading the Cardinals. Now I don't want to fade Zimmer off a loss because he's just absolutely incredible against the spread. But even though Zimmer and I are definitely not boys, but I think that I can't lay this big of a number here when I would like to see a little bit more of the Cardinals offense, but I've seen all I needed to about this Cardinals defense. I think it's just got elite pieces all over the field. So Austin, what do you think?
I'm in the same boat as you. I think the numbers just moved a little bit too much. I don't think the Vikings.
Well, it's come down.
It has come down.
It was 4.5.
4.5, I definitely like the Vikings. At 3.5, I just see where it's going. I'm kind of indifferent right now. I will say that the Vikings have a much better defense, particularly D-line, than the Titans. So it's going to be a tougher challenge this week, especially putting pressure on Kyler. I was impressed with Kirk last week, even though they lose the game, he still put up great numbers. It's not like Cincinnati is a great secondary, but Kirk in this offense is definitely formidable. I'm not going to overreact to a Cardinals defense suddenly becoming elite. I think they do have a bunch of good names. I was very impressed with Chandler Jones. But I'm not going to quite hop on just saying how good this defense is. I think they took advantage of a Titans offense that wasn't quite ready for the season opener. I just think these two teams are closer than the spread is indicating.
I think a half point difference is pretty close. Well, yeah, that's the power rating, right?
Yeah, that's if you're giving 3 points for home field, which think is warranted. That's another thing to note is this is the second road game for the Vikings. Travel early in the season, especially traveling to the West Coast, not easy. They are going to stay in a dome. I'll lean Vikings, but it's a tough pill to swallow for me, especially after last week, them losing me my best bet.
I'm on the Vikings. I kind of like it +3.5. I really would have liked it at 4.5 and considered for my best bet. Honestly, more than anything, this is a situational play for me. I think people upgraded the Cardinals too much after the performance last week. I know you guys are pretty low on the Titans. So I don't know how you could walk away like just thinking the Cardinals are a whole new team. Just 1 week at a time. Week one's an overreaction week. So, and then on the other side too, the Vikings just got outplayed. They had a chance to win it at the end, but obviously they couldn't get it done. What really catches my eye, though, here is Zimmer is 30-15 ATS off a loss. He's a very good coach after a loss in like these spots like this, even if it is a back-to-back roadie. I think he'll have him coached well, and I think 3.5 is just like a half point too many.
So while I agree with your overall kind of like sentiments about like week one overreactions, you can't also not like adjust, if that makes sense. Like they just held what I think we all would agree should be a pretty good and exciting offense in the Titans to below 250 yards, and they lost the turnover battle and still won by 25. Like that's a truly dominant, and they put up 400 yards of offense. Like that's a truly dominant performance. And that's also without scoring in the fourth, which also that was a horrible beat. I think the total was like 52 or 53.
51.5.
No, they didn't. Neither team scored in the last 18 minutes of the game, which is crazy. But I don't know. I think that I'm not betting it. And this is certainly what I'll be flipping between this one and probably Cowboys Chargers while it's going on. So I'm excited to follow along.
I see your point there, and I definitely agree, but I think part of the reason that they held the Titans in check was it was 17-0 like 8 minutes into the game, and that just completely changed the game plan. And when you can pin your ears back and Chandler Jones has 5 sacks, I mean, that definitely helps. So
True.
If that game plays out differently, I think Titans definitely put up more points, but you're right. That's a good point.
Why don't we skip ahead since we're talking about the Titans? Why don't we skip to the Titans game? We've got Seattle favored by 6 points as the Tennessee Titans are coming into town with a total of 54. I guess I'll start because I was leaning Tennessee because I thought it was too many points. But I don't like this Tennessee defense at all. I can't trust them to make a stop. I think this Seattle offense is better in every way than the Cardinals offense, just from quarterback, receiver, running back. I don't see why they can't do exactly what the Cardinals did last week and put up 30 plus. And if you're taking the Titans in this game, you're kind of banking on them flipping the switch that they're going to turn around the worst. They had the worst performance in the NFL last week. You're kind of just banking that they're going to turn that around. It's just this offense, it has all the weapons in the world, but they are missing Arthur Smith at the helm. And that showed last week where they went away from things that would work for them last year, such as only, I think, having 3 play action passes, which was their bread and butter last season. They're in a little bit of trouble. I think it's a lot of points, but when you just have a defense as bad as theirs, I'm fine with taking Seattle, especially in a home. They have quite a home field advantage. This is an East Coast team traveling west, and what do they do? They ring a bell at the beginning of the game, I think, or they raise a flag. I don't know, but they're going to be pumped and they're going to be wearing their bright green. I'll take Seattle.
So my angle here is I would rather bet Seattle first half or like Seattle first half team total over, because what we saw last week was four first half Russell Wilson touchdowns. And then, you know what? They let Russ cook for a half. They were up a bunch. And then they're like, no, what? We're going to sit on it. And it was run. And if 6 is big enough to where like a backdoor could come into play, and it makes me a little nervous. So I think I would lean more so towards the first half team total over. But if you really see like some dominance looming for the Seahawks this week, then I would say look more towards first half.
Yeah, I'm on the other side as you two. It was my fifth leg, but now it's more of a lean. I'll still bet it if either of you guys want it. But you guys made pretty compelling cases, and I checked that Seahawks box score again.
I want it.
I'll take it too.
Yeah. Man, all right, I'll take it. 25 each. Honestly, like rethinking, I think the over would be my play here. There's no way the Titans' offense is that bad again this week. The Seahawks defense actually did do pretty well against the run last week, which was what I was checking for. Less than 4 yards per carry, only 113 yards yielded as a team. So that's a pretty impressive performance. But at the same time, I think the Colts kind of had to abandon the run. I think they were down 20 at one point. So if the Titans can get a lead here, I'd really like this. But if Seattle starts ahead, I think they're staying ahead. So watch this one closely. It could be a good live bet if Seattle gets up early.
Great. Okay. Why don't we check out my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are favored by 12.5 points with Atlanta coming to town. I don't have much to say about this game just because I think it's a lot of points. And I did have Atlanta marked. I had them graded pretty high coming into the season. And after that performance last week, I don't know what the hell to think about this team. I think they look awful. Defense looked bad. Offense looked bad. Bucks are coming in on extra rest. And I only had one little fun trend, which I found really interesting. We're so quick to – so if a team has like a bunch of turnovers – we dwindle down to them being unlucky.
Unlucky, yeah.
Yeah. And so here, teams favored after a large negative turnover margin the week prior, large being -3. So Tampa Bay last week was -3 in the turnover margin. When they play a team who was stable in turnovers, the Falcons last week, I don't think they lost the turnover battle. In the last 8 years, the favorites are 5-31 in their next game against the spread. I mean, that's very substantial, and we're getting quite a big spread here. Do you want to take that into as an entire bet analysis? Not particularly, but we are seeing a division game here. 12.5 points, I think, is a lot. Bucks have a look ahead as they play. Who did I say they're playing next week? It's a big game.
Rams.
Yeah, at LA. Not exactly the biggest game to get up for. And this has backdoor written all over it as well. So I'll lean Atlanta.
I love that trend. As someone who I'm so guilty of like picking and choosing when I want it to like use it as an argument. I try really hard to like kind of like push back against that, but I've never even like seen like any kind of like trend or number about that. So I find that incredibly interesting.
Also, it also makes kind of sense. Packers. Also applies to the Packers.
Interesting.
Week.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it does make sense. So like you have, because oftentimes we'll credit bad teams as being unlucky when they're just bad teams. Now, I wouldn't say that applies to the Buccaneers, but you get up. And was it spreads of more than 10 points or just any favorite?
It was not any favorite.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah. 5-31.
That's good. That's a good one. Good find. Oh, and I guess I can get my analysis on the game too. I don't have a lot here. I don't think the Bucks make a bad tease going through 7, which is a little strange and unconventional, but I think that
Sweetheart.
Yeah, take it down to a pick. Do not do that. You're burning money. But I
don't do that. Don't do that.
You're deep. I think that I struggle to find ways in which the Falcons win here. I don't think they're going to, I'm not optimistic of them moving the ball well, and plus the Buccaneers have extra rest, so it's I don't know who the Bucs play next week, but I don't think there's really any like Rams. Look ahead. Rams. So Rams maybe
at LA.
Maybe there is a little bit of a look ahead here, but oh no, I don't have a whole lot here. I'm kind of just talking to Phil Air, so someone take it away. Lean Bucs.
I lean Bucks too. I really don't have a whole lot. That trend is actually insane. I thought it'd work the other way, but I guess that just works in everyone's handicap and makes it expensive. I mean, honestly, if I had like any play here, it'd probably be the over. I don't think I'd tease them down. Maybe Bucks money line in a parlay just to get that extra like $2 out of it. That's about all I got.
Well, I will say I'm in the lab right now making a sweetheart teaser. like honestly, you can get Browns, Bucks, and Packers down to a half point, point, and 2 points. So I think that's kind of live. And then I just threw in the Saints in there. What is the payout?
+180. You'd also be probably
plus
better
130.
Off. You'd,
plus 130. Geez,
you'd be yeah, better off great. Just money
four teamer.
Yeah, you got to do four teams. Yeah, you're probably right. All right, don't listen to that. People don't make sweetheart teasers. They lose you money. But with three big 10-point plus spreads this week, I guess you could ponder the idea. Let's move on to the game of the week, which had a lot more potential probably before the Monday night football game last week. We got the Chiefs coming into Baltimore where they're 3.5-point favorites with a total of 54.5.
Quick timeout. So you would have you'd get a better payout if you just parlayed all of them. +144.
Oh wow, that's sharp. That's only at the Sharp Side podcast. Is that so all four sure. teams or
yeah,
is that four. That's just okay. Not bad. Okay. So it's funny, we saw this game last year where the Ravens were favored at home, but they were favorites, and now we're seeing them as 3.5-point underdogs. I remember talking with Jazz, and he was on the other side. He was on the Ravens. I couldn't believe. I think we were getting the Chiefs at 3, which I just couldn't fathom. And they absolutely dominated.
Big time loss for me.
Yeah, they absolutely dominated that game. I think definitely won me a pick 'em league. We won't bring up those memories. But looking at last week, Ravens have a lot of issues. They got O-line issues. They struggled quite a bit last week, as we mentioned, against the Raiders. And now they're going to lose Pro Bowler Ronnie Staley. But it's not just O-line. They have a lot of defensive issues. With Jimmy Smith hurt, they really have no solid cover corner, especially with Marcus Peters already out. If they couldn't cover Waller, I don't see how they're going to cover Kelsey. And then now you add Tyreek Hill to the mix. That Chiefs offense, I think, is going to have their way. If you're taking the Ravens here, you kind of have to say that they're going to put up 30-plus points. And with their O-line issues and their running back injuries, I mean, unless – they were holding back plays from last week, because I will say Lamar didn't exactly have many designed QB runs. Unless Lamar has the game of his career, I just don't know how the Ravens are going to score enough and stop the Chiefs. I will say the Chiefs did struggle against the rushing offense of the Browns. So if there is a chance for the Ravens, it's there. But they just have so much uncertainty in that backfield that I don't really know what to expect from this offense. Chiefs are getting Tyrann Mathieu back. I'll take the Chiefs at 3.5. I think this is it might be a little tough just be considering they just had a tough game against the Browns, but this is what they do. They score all the points in the world. And I think they got a decent defense, and with the Ravens struggle, I think they're good to cover.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm seeing it. I want to wait on this and see if it gets down to 3, but I kind of just think it stays where it's at. You talked about Jimmy Smith, a weird trend. The Ravens are 14-7 ATS when he plays. When he doesn't, I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I believe it's below 50% against spread. So he's that important. And then you throw in Marcus Peters is out. That line is in trouble. And that Marlon secondary.
Humphrey's also hurt.
Yeah, Humphrey's also hurt. Yeah, and Peters obviously out for the year. So I just think all signs point to the Chiefs here. Mahomes in his career has dominated the Ravens. So I just think that continues. I'd play the Chiefs -3.5 here.
I'm with it. I said last year I learned my lesson, and that I did. So I'm not going to bet the Chiefs, which is probably silly, but one thing I am going to do is I'm going to bet their first half team total over. I think it's so hard to especially on a short week, which it's a short week and you have to prepare for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's not easy. And when your guys who are going to have to hang with Kelsey, Tyreek Hill, and all of the rest of those speed demons that they have to throw at you. And they're all your best defensive players are all banged up. It's just hard to do. I think we might see a bunch of explosive plays early on, whether it's like long Tyreek Hill touchdowns, big chunk gains from Travis Kelsey or whatever it is. And I think that the Raiders have a great offense and they're able to move the ball pretty well. And the Chiefs have an even better offense. And with less time to prepare, I think that might cause a little bit of a struggle. So Chiefs first half team total over for me. Is that it? Oh, no, we got one more.
I like that look. All right. We got one more. We got Monday Night Favorites at Lambeau Field with a total of 48.5. The trend I just mentioned above with the Bucs does still apply here, considering the Packers lost the turnover battle by perception prop once again. I hope everyone cashed last week because I did. They really just don't have any receivers. I will continue to harp that this receiving core sucks.
No, they're going off at the end of the game. Come on, give them their credit. Give them their credit.
When they're down 27, I don't care about them. But the Packers have some solid cover corners. But I will say the Packers still have problems after watching that game. The O-line clearly showed its ugly head. They have two rookies starting. They struggle with the run. They struggle to run the ball. They struggle with QB pressure. And then not to mention, they might have a lot of internal issues, just being the fact that Rodgers sat out all offseason. There was all this bickering. Is he going to Jeopardy? Is he going to Denver Broncos? And now he's back with the Packers. And he expected one Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen Instagram post to save the day. And to come out with a 3-point performance in week one, it's pretty bad. So you could look at this as a total bounce back performance, or you could look at it as this Packers team might have some issues going on with the entire organization. Something to really buy into this Lions team is Dan Campbell. Look, they were getting their ass kicked last week. I don't even think they even were trying to keep scoring, but Dan Campbell forced them to. So they ended up covering that spread if you bet the Lions on the closing Sunday. I just think when they're a big underdog like this, Lions could be pretty live for back doors. Also could be just very live for live betting all season. I'll lean the Lions. I'm really interested to see what the Packers look like, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm sure I'll play this in some sort of way if it's the Monday night game and I need action, but I'm not going to touch the spread, I don't think. Maybe look at the over because backdoor and garbage time, but other than that, it's kind of a stay away from it.
I'm going to bet Packers team total over. I just think that we're going to see a far better we're going to see a big-time response from what we saw against the Saints, and the Lions most certainly do not have the Saints defense. So I also am not going to put any faith in Dan Campbell to cook up a good game plan to slow down Aaron Rodgers unless they start. Hey, he is 1 week down and he's already bit some kneecaps off. So R.I.P. to Raheem Mostert. But I think that I think the Packers could certainly roll here, but I mean, it's also hard to tell just because of what we saw against the Niners, who put up 41 points very easily and then just didn't want to recover an onside kick. So I'm so happy I did not bet that, which that seemed like a brutal beat. You guys were sweating at the end. You thought that they were just going to straight up lose.
I had a big parlay with the Niners at 8.5 that didn't hit. It's my own fault for making the parlay so late, but that one definitely hurt a little bit. Something else to note, this is the only weather game all week. There's expected 15-mile-per-hour winds, but it's not till Monday, so just something to monitor if you are betting the game. Anything else?
I believe
no,
that's it.
Not follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Download the BetSports app. We've got the same username on there at the Sharpside Pod. More to come. Excited. We've got a long football season ahead of us. And remember, if you want to get down on some college football games, make sure you listen to us first before placing any bets. Same goes for the NFL week to week. So good luck this weekend, everyone. Austin, what are we doing?
Let's go win some money.
Hell yeah. Thank you, everyone.